Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Jeb Scarecrow's Pumpkin Patch by Jana Dillon. The picture shows a really brightly colored pumpkin patch with lots of huge orange pumpkins in it. There's a scarecrow, but he's not hanging from a stick like scarecrows usually are. He's kind of dancing around and waving his hands. He has a green pointy hat on and blue overalls and brown shoes and a plaid shirt. And in the picture, there are three crows that are flying off because he's scaring them. It's mighty hard work scaring crows all day. Crows don't scare easy. A scarecrow's got to flap and wave his arms around and kick and hurl his legs. He's got to look like a wild man before he can scare those pesky, seed-guzzling, fruit-pecking crows. Now we see the scarecrow lying on the ground. He's got his arms around one of the large, big pumpkins, almost like he's using it as a pillow, and his eyes are closed. Jeb Scarecrow was just a kid, but he did a fine job guarding his family's pumpkin patch. Those pumpkin seeds had sprouted up all around him right nicely last spring. Now they were huge orange pumpkins basking in the October sun. Here's a cottage. It has a straw or thatch roof. The cottage is blue with green shutters around the windows and a green door that's only half open. Looking out of the window is a scarecrow face, and there's a pie that's very warm. You can tell it's warm because there's warm air that's floating out of the pie. And there's another scarecrow that looks like it must be a woman scarecrow. She has on a pink scarf wrapped around her head and lots of jewelry, earrings and beads and bracelets, and she has a pink shirt on. In the evenings, when the crows were in their nests, Jeb ambled along home to the little straw cottage he shared with Mamo and Dado in the woods at the edge of the pumpkin patch. Now the family of scarecrows is sitting at the table eating. They're eating some of that yummy pie that was on the window. There's a fireplace with a big roaring fire in it, and around the room are all kinds of little pots and bowls that have things growing in them. There's a broom in the corner and a butter churn. "Jeb, I've got bad news for you, son," Mama said that night at dinner. "There's talk among the crows of a big harvest celebration right in your pumpkin patch the week before Halloween." Jeb dropped his fork. "Why me?" he cried. "Why now?"
"Those crazy crows throw a party every year, son," said Dado. "So far it's been in other scarecrows' pumpkin patches. This year, they chose yours."
"They'll peck and pick at all my pumpkins," wailed Jeb. "I won't be able to sell any for Halloween. Doggone it, what am I going to do?"
The mama is sitting with her head on her hand. Her elbows are on the table. She looks like she's trying to think really hard. They all look kind of sad.
"Not much you can do, son," said Dado, shaking his head sadly. "No scarecrow ever won out over the crows when it comes to their harvest bash. No, sir, not one scarecrow ever won."
Jeb is trying to eat his pie. Now he has a very determined look on his face.
"There's no way around it, Jeb," said Mama with a sigh. "Your pumpkin patch is as good as gone right now. You might as well forget it. There's always next year."
"Nope, they just can't have it. Not my pumpkin patch," said Jeb, and he stabbed his fork angrily into his cherry pie.
Now Jeb is out in the pumpkin patch, but it looks like a stormy day. It's still kind of dark, and he's holding on to one of the pumpkins. Each day, Jeb Scarecrow stubbornly showed up in the pumpkin patch at dawn's first light. He tried to plot some way to save his pumpkins, but it took a lot of thought, and the crows didn't leave Jeb much time for deep thinking.
Here's one of the crows. He must be an old one. He has kind of long white hair at the back of his head, and he's wearing big round glasses and a pink vest. We can see him up in the air, and he's looking down at Jeb and one of the pumpkins.
You're not partying here, Jeb,
warned Grandfather Crow as he swooped by.
Oh, yes, we are, cawed Grandfather Crow, and no scarecrow can stop it. Least of all you, Jeb Scarecrow, you're nothing but a kid.
And away he flew, laughing. Here's a different crow. This one has on a yellow vest and a long green tie and a high white collar on his shirt. He also has a little straw hat on his head.
No one is celebrating in my pumpkin patch, Jeb yelled at Bernie Crow.
You wait and see, Jeb Scarecrow, mocked Bernie. This pumpkin patch will be nothing but leftovers. And he flew away chanting, Party, party, party.
A third crow is in this picture. She has on a pink dress with a green collar. And she even has a pink bow in some of her feathers that have been made into a long braid.
You crows should celebrate in the wild, not in some hard-working scarecrow's patch, Jeb scolded Lucy Crow. And eat berries when we could be eating giant juicy pumpkins? No thanks, said Lucy Crow saucily. We're going to eat pumpkins, that's right, these pumpkins, your pumpkins.
There's not a scarecrow alive who doesn't get nervous the night before he has to do something important. The night before the crow's big bash, Jeb tossed and turned and twirled until his sheets were twisted all around his middle. And here Jeb is in his bed. The top of his bed, the headboard, looks like a giant pumpkin. And the legs at the bottom of his bed have vines made out of wood that are wrapped around them. It looks like he's sleeping in a great big pumpkin patch, but it's his bed. And he has red and white striped sheets that are all twisted around him. And also he has on red and white socks now. Under his bed is a pair of binoculars and some toys that he's left there. It was his last chance to think of a plan. He thought of this. He thought of that. He got up three times to eat. And outside, the moon is shining and the wind is blowing through the trees. Leaves are flying off of the trees. And we can see through a window that Jeb is walking back and forth in his house. At last, in the darkest hour of night, Jeb hatched a plot. Never mind not much sleep. Jeb was up at dawn. As soon as Mamo and Daddo heard him, they leaped out of their bed. Jeb told them of his plan.
We'll help, said Mamo, any way we can.
And there, bed looks like a giant haystack, and the feet on their bed looks like sheaves of wheat gathered up. Jeb is walking down the hall with a whole bunch of clothes in his arms. All day long, the crows kept Mamo and Daddo running up and down the pumpkin patch while Jeb worked steadily. He covered some of his pumpkins with a shirt, a shawl, or some other piece of clothing, then mysteriously crawled under each one. Oh, now the pumpkin patch has all this action going on. The crows are flying back and forth, swooping down low, and Mamo and Daddo are running around, and we can see that the pumpkins now all have pieces of clothing on them.
Give up, Jeb, jeered Grandfather Crow. We crows will win. You lose, we win. You lose, we win. We win. Loser. Ah!
Grandfather is pulling at one of the shirts that's on top of a pumpkin, and we can see Jeb inside the shirt, hiding by the pumpkin.
What are you doing so sneaky-like under these clothes? Asked Lucy Crow,
but Jeb didn't bother to answer. He kept on working. And now we see Lucy flying down, and she sees one of the pumpkins with a dress on top of it. At sunset, Daddo shouted,
Jeb, the neighborhood crows have flown away to meet their guests.
Jeb jumped out from under a scarf and said, Mamo, Daddo, quick, we've got to set up the last part of my plan. And now we can see Mamo and Daddo and Jeb, and their mouths are all open in surprise.
They are colored as if there's a fire nearby lighting up them. The sky still glowed in the twilight, but the earth was dark and shadowy when the Scarecrow family was finished.
"I sure hope this works," whispered Mamo.
"Cross your fingers," Dado said softly.
"Here they come," whooped Jeb.
The sky darkened with noisy birds.
"Wait till you see these mouth-watering pumpkins," Bernie Crow called loudly to the guests following him. "Yes, sir, party time."
"We're almost there,"
Lucy Crow shouted. But as they came over the tops of the trees to Jeb Scarecrow's pumpkin patch, Bernie Crow hollered,
"Hold everything!"
"Monsters!"
shrieked Lucy Crow.
"Guarding Jeb Scarecrow's pumpkin patch!"
The sky is dark with all the birds flying in. Now there are about 8 or 9 birds flying, and they're coming in over the treetops. Great orange heads, staring like spooks, grinned up at them wickedly from the pumpkin patch.
"Turn back!" squawked Bernie Crow.
The neighborhood crows tried to stop, but the crows behind them just kept coming. And here in the pumpkin patch, Jeb has made all of the pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns. Their faces have big, frowny looks on them, and they're all lit up from inside. Soon the crows were all banging into each other, calling and screeching, feathers flying everywhere.
"Turn back!"
shouted Lucy Crow.
"That pumpkin patch is haunted!"
"Stop pushing!"
hollered Grandfather Crow.
"Let an old crow through!"
"Party's over!" cawed Bernie Crow. "Party's over!"
And all the crows have their mouths open and their eyes wide open, and they look completely scared to death as they look at the jack-o'-lanterns all lit up sitting in the pumpkin patch. As the crows disappeared over the trees, Jeb collapsed with laughter. Mamo and Dado sat down beside him, hee-hawing till their sides hurt. The honking of a car horn silenced their laughter.
"Hey, Mr. Scarecrow," called a fellow from his car, "I'll buy one of those jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween. I couldn't carve one better myself, and I'll want one of those plain pumpkins, too, for pie."
A car pulled up behind him, and then another. Soon the street was lined with cars. Folks were waving money and smiling at the jack-o'-lanterns and the pumpkins. Jeb was smiling, too, as he and Mamo and Dado hurried about selling his darling pumpkins. The last picture shows Jeb holding an enormous pumpkin that has now become a jack-o'-lantern because it has a face on it that's glowing. And then we see all the neighbors coming down the street, wandering through the pumpkin patch and deciding which one of those great-looking, scary jack-o'-lanterns they want to buy. The end. 5 Little Monkeys Trick-or-Treat by Eileen Christelo. The 5 little monkeys dress up for Halloween.
"Hurry," says Mama. "Your favorite babysitter is here to take you trick-or-treating."
Mama's looking through the doorway. One little monkey is dressed up like a princess in a pink dress with pink and white striped leggings and a crown on her head, and she's putting lipstick on herself as she stands in front of a mirror. Another little monkey is putting a sheet over his head. I bet he's going to be a ghost. Another little monkey is putting on something that looks like he might be a banana. The 4th little monkey is wearing green, and he has a monster head on with big teeth sticking out of it and horns on his head. And the 5th little monkey is in purple. He has a mask on with antenna and a robe that makes him look like he's an alien from outer space. Their room is a complete mess as they get ready.
"Hi, Lulu," shout the monkeys. "Banana, alien, ghost, goblin, and princess are ready to go."
"But I was going to go out with 5 little monkeys," said Lulu. "Where are they?"
"They're taking a nap," giggles the princess. Off they go. Mama is at the door, saying goodbye to Lulu, the babysitter, and the little monkeys are running down the road.
"Ghost, princess, goblin, banana, and alien," Mama reminds Lulu. "Don't lose the rascals."
"Don't worry," says Lulu.
Down the street, the alien meets a friend. "Nice bunny costume," says the alien. "I like yours better," says the friend. "We could trade," suggests the alien. The friend is wearing a blue sheep costume. The moon is up in the sky shining, and there are bats flying through the air. And all the little monkeys have pumpkins that are made out of paper or plastic and have handles on them to put their treats on. "Everyone will be so confused," they whisper. So the monkey that was the alien trades costumes with his friend. Now the little monkey has become the blue sheep, and the friend is the alien. As the other trick-or-treaters run down the street, Lulu checks. Banana, ghost, goblin, princess. Uh-oh, where's the alien? You can see her counting all the little monkeys and other animals. "Here he comes," exclaims the princess. "Now look here, Mr. Alien," Lulu scolds. "You monkeys need to stick with me." "That is the best Halloween trick ever," whispers the ghost. "I wish I could switch costumes." The banana spies two more trick-or-treater friends. These friends are two alligators that are dressed up as a television set and some other kind of machine with all kinds of buttons on it and wires. The ghost and the banana catch up just as Lulu is checking again. Alien, princess, goblin, ghost, banana. "Everyone is switching costumes," giggles the goblin. "This is so silly." "We could switch costumes too," suggest two more trick-or-treater friends. And so now it's the goblin monkey and the princess monkey, and they have seen two friends that are really tall ducks. One of them is in a costume that makes him look like a cluster of grapes, and the other one looks like a giant jack-o'-lantern. "Good idea," says the goblin. "This is the best Halloween trick." "Pleased to help," says the pumpkin, which is really a duck, taking his costume off. The grapes and the princess decide to trade too. "Lulu won't even notice," says the princess. When the goblin and the princess catch up, Lulu doesn't seem to notice a thing. "You monkeys are just in time," she tells them. But now, when you look at the picture, the princess is a duck, and the goblin is a duck, and the bunch of grapes is a monkey, and the pumpkin is a monkey. Then Lulu counts. Princess, goblin, ghost, alien, banana. Oh, good, I have all five little monkeys. The other trick-or-treaters think that is hilarious. But then Lulu hustles the princess, banana, goblin, ghost, and alien down the street. "See you around," she calls to the other trick-or-treaters. "We have to get home for a big Halloween treat." "Uh-oh," cries the big blue bunny, who is really one of the monkeys. Lulu delivers the banana, ghost, alien, princess, and goblin home to Mama. "I didn't lose one," she says. And in this picture, Lulu, we can see her better than we have before. She's got on a pretend witch's hat, and she has dangly earrings that are jack-o'-lanterns. And she looks so proud of herself because she's brought what she thinks are the five little monkeys home. Mama gasps, "Oh, they look different." "Oh, don't worry about that," says Lulu. And then the doorbell rings. "Trick or treat, Mama." Mama looks very carefully at the trick-or-treaters, who are now a television set, a machine, a jack-o'-lantern, a blue sheep, and a bunch of grapes. "There must be some mistake," she says, "because I am the mama of a banana, alien, ghost, princess, and goblin, and they are already home." Mama closes the door. Almost. Uh-oh. But then she peeks out. "Why don't you rascals come in for a treat?" she says to her own little monkeys that are in the wrong costumes. Mama hugs her monkeys, then scolds them. "Poor Lulu, this is trick or treat, not trick and treat." "That's okay," says Lulu. "I've made the perfect treat for tricksters." Now all the other animals that took over the costumes, the alligators and the ducks and the little lion cub, are sitting at the table, and the monkeys are just standing there. Lulu has brought out a tray with a pitcher on it and treats on it.
I brought you eyeballs and worm juice.
They all look at it with their eyes wide open.
Hey, look, it's a trick treat. Yum!
And it does look like eyeballs, and it does look like worms in the pitcher. But there's a recipe at the end of the story, and the eyeballs are really round cookies that have icing on them to make them look like their eyes. And the worm juice is lemonade that has gummy worms inside it. Mmm, sounds like a pretty good treat.
The end.
On a Windy Night by Nancy Rains Day is illustrated by George Bates. This is a picture book that's got some really cool drawings in it. On the first page, the page is almost all purple and a little bit of orange, and there are clouds in the sky. But the clouds look like a shark and an elephant and a snail, a locomotive, a dinosaur, Superman, and a unicorn. They're all funny shapes. And down on the road, we see a little boy walking. He's got on a suit that makes him look like a skeleton, and he's carrying a big round orange bag. I think this is a Halloween story. On a windy night, on a winding road, a boy walks home with a heavy load. On this winding road, on this windy night, clouds hide the moon, and in creeps fright. Now the boy's walking up through the forest. There's a cat following him. And the clouds are still all kinds of bizarre shapes. One of them looks like a sea dragon, and the other one looks like a great big hand coming down from the sky. Through dark woods and down a hill, the boy walks fast and faster still. What's that? His heart flip-flops with fear. A whisper rustles in his ear. He's looking up into a tree, and some of the branches in the tree look like an owl. It's not a real owl. It just looks like the shape of one.
Crackety clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back. The boy squeaks, "Who? Do you mean me?"
"Who else?" Owl hoots back from his tree. Now there is a real owl in the tree. And there's also a cloud up in the sky that looks like a giant owl. The wind blows leaves that brush his face. The panicked boy begins to race, but even though he holds his ears, it's louder now, the voice he hears. And the wind has taken all of the orange and red and brown leaves and made them into a shape like a great big weird monster that's behind him. The little boy and the cat are running as fast as they can through the woods.
Crackledy clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back.
Oh, now we see the boy up close, and he is looking very frightened. The clouds in the sky are rolling around. The trees even look like they have faces on them. And the cat is hiding behind the pumpkin-shaped bag. He leaves the spooky woods behind, but in the field, what does he find? Real skeletons! They dance in rows, clacking knees and crackling toes. Rough fingers whip his hands and cheek. He runs, but hears an awful shriek. And you see six skeletons moving around out in the field besides the woods.
Crackledy-clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back.
And now the boy is running really fast. His mouth is open wide, and his bag is almost falling out of his hands. The boy runs blindly, fast seems slow. Then suddenly, he stubs his toe. He reaches out and feels a head. It doesn't move. It must be dead. The boy's feet barely touch the ground. Again, it comes, that deafening sound. Guess what he's running through? A pumpkin patch. He's bumped his foot on a pumpkin.
Crackledy clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back.
He's running faster and faster.
Now, when he looks back, the trees and the bushes on the ground have made outline of a shape of a huge pumpkin. He runs so fast. He's breathing hard. He's almost there. He's in the yard. A shadow rubs against his legs. "Don't hurt me, please," the scared boy begs. And you can see a big shadow on the ground, and the boy is running away. The hairy beast sits on his shoe, and then it makes a meek
meow.
It was his cat that was chasing him through the woods, and he didn't realize it. When the clouds roll by, a full moon shines bright. The boy looks back and laughs outright. Now, dry corn stalks dance where the bones had been. The head's a pumpkin once again, so the boy scoops up his purring cat. They both go home, and that is that, until they hear a crackledy-clack. And now the picture shows that they're in the house, and a little mouse has gotten into the treat bag and is eating the candy. That's what's making the crackledy-clack. The end.
Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.